So Paul wrote to the Philippians. I want to read the section that we're going to talk about today. He says, and we know that he's persuading them to continue in the faith. He's trying to, at the beginning of the chapter, he says, remember these things. And he's talking about, remember that you have joy, remember this. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But in that frame of mind, he's telling the Philippians to remember that. And he says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. And we spoke about that last week. Now, the verse 12 continues, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on, that I might lay hold of that which for what Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, or the maturity, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you, and now tell you that even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. And then we're creeping into chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. You know, last week our title was Citizens of Heaven. If you were here last week, that was our title. And I want to continue in that same mode and expound a little bit on that subject. Paul, at the beginning of this chapter, he reminds us of the Philippians of a few different things. He's trying to bring to remembrance. Remember he said, I want to bring that to remembrance. It might sound tedious, it might sound boring, it might sound repetitious, but it's a good thing that we cause you to remember these things. He says, remember, as Christians, and we spoke about this last week, we have this joy in our life. We spoke about that at the men's thing yesterday, about how God wants to give us joy. He wants to give Christians joy, and he wants to fulfill that in our lives. He wants us to have joy, not happiness. We spoke about that too. Happiness is conditional. Joy is inspirational and spiritual. So we know joy sustains us. It's going to carry us through the hard times of life. He also tells the church, he reminds them to beware, you do have enemies. You do have enemies. And, you know, we should never forget, we're always in a war. We're always in the war, from the time we get up in the morning till the time we go to sleep. And then sometimes in your dreamland, you go through warfare. I do myself. He tells the church in Philippi, beware, you have enemies. And, you know, we should never forget that we're in the battle of souls. We're in the battle of our soul, right? But we're in the battle of souls. And remember that good soldiers, they always put on their whole armor. They always put on their whole armor. He writes that in Ephesians chapter 6. And he says, especially remember to put on the breastplate of his righteousness, because in verse 9 he says, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness or my own rightness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And that's our righteousness. Our righteousness is not us, but So he's reminding them, your righteousness is not of the law. It's not of those Jews that are trying to turn you away into the old way, the old covenant. So as we continue in the chapter, though, Paul is going to emphasize pressing on in the faith. That's a real dear subject in my heart, is because I want to encourage people. I want to encourage myself to press on in the faith, to keep going, no matter what, whatever comes up, whatever is going to stop us in the way. We want to press on in the faith. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And we spoke about this either last week or the week before. Heaven really isn't about the beauty of it, though there is beauty, streets of gold, foundations of jewels. But the real heaven is that God. That's who we're going to be with. That's our gift forever and ever, is to know the Lord. So he says, I press toward that goal, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He also says in verse 17, follow my example. He said it in other books, follow my example because I'm following Christ's example. And don't follow those false teachers who set their minds on earthly things. Don't keep your mind on the world. Now, this list of remembrances has many things to be mindful of, but what caught my eye really in this chapter is verse 20. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be our focus this morning. We're going to look at looking forward, pressing on. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at maturity, how to kind of mark maturity along the way, how you know that you're growing and not shrinking. And then we're going to press on this one subject. Let's remember who we are, and that's being citizens in heaven. So that I might know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Again, last week, not that I've already attained. None of us have attained. None of us have apprehended. None of us are perfected. But I press on that I might lay hold of that which Jesus Christ had laid hold of me. I like that expression. God has laid hold of me, and now God wants us to lay hold of him, how he's laid hold of us. And that's, he's laid hold of us in salvation and fellowship and knowing him. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I often dwell, maybe you guys do too, maybe you guys are a little bit more half full glass or whatever. I dwell on my failures more often than I do on my successes or victories. I don't know why. Maybe I'm that kind of nature. You could pick out 10 things that are good and one thing that's bad. That one thing, you know. It just happens. I don't know if it's human nature, or I don't know if it's with you guys. I hope it's not with you guys. But I often dwell on my failures above the victories. But just as often, what God reminds me almost every time without failure is that often my failures are victories in disguise. Something that he kind of hides in there, and he turns it around in such a way that it becomes a victory. You know, you could speak of Abraham. He had a few lapses of faith. He has, you know, a few lapses of faith. We know that he had a child by an Egyptian girl that caused all kinds of problems. Even to this day, it causes problems 3,000 years later. And we often scratch our heads at David. He's a murderer, an adulterer. He's a bloody man. But now, what is he referred to? He is a man after God's own heart. So God looks at failures a little different than what we do. How about Peter denying the Lord becomes kind of the leader of the early church? Not the Pope, right? He's just the leader of the early church. So God looks at our failures differently. Often when I dwell on my failures, God tells me not to look on those things that he deems holy. You remember Peter when he was in that upper room, he's hungry, waiting for dinner to cook, some matzo balls and some other stuff going on. And all of a sudden, God gives him a vision of all these unclean animals. And he says, Peter, take and eat, take and eat. Oh, Lord, I've never tasted unholy things. And he says, what I have made holy, do not call unholy. And sometimes our failures are like that. So Paul had many regrets to look back on. After the coats were set at Paul's feet from those that stoned, and I always look at Stephen or Stephen as being really an innocent man. Just I read his account in Acts today in this morning, and I said, man, what a brilliant account of what he gave to the Pharisees and the Sadducees before they stoned him. And Paul had that regret that he was there. They laid the coats at his feet. He agreed to that murder. So Paul had regrets. Now we're talking about looking back on things. But Paul had matured. He'd grown in the Lord. And now he says, I put those things behind me. All those things, those failures, those focusing. If you put your focus on the failures, you're never going to be able to focus on the prize, ever. The prize is what we focus on. So past failures often prevent future victories. Those past failures. Regrets of the past often cut us off from the real important things. Or looking back, it steals away from the future of pressing forward. We're not to look back on things. We can, me and Dave speak about sometimes when we're together in prayer, we speak about looking back on the things that we have victories on. But the past, we can look back at that and say, we can put those things behind us. Those are things that God uses in our life. He makes what? All things together for the good. All things together. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, whatever. All things mixed together are good. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So looking forward. Now, he also speaks a little bit about maturity here. He says, therefore, let us, as many that are mature, have this mind. And he's the mind of looking forward. Not looking back, have this mind, and in everything you think, otherwise God will reveal it to you. The Holy Spirit reveals those revelations. He corrects the course along the way sometimes. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, he's not apprehended, but we've already attained to some degree of maturity, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Now, if you've ever read Genesis, you would find Abraham, and I'm talking about maturity here, you would find Abraham had a very peculiar habit of stacking stones. I think I gave a study on it one time, stacking stones. And these were altars that in his relationship with the Lord, he built these altars at a high point of worship or a high point in his relationship with the Lord. He would build these altars and he would sacrifice. And he would stack stones. That's what we call it, stacking stones. He built four altars that I can see in the scriptures. One was the initial calling, when God called him to come down to this land that he was going to give to him and then his descendants forever. So that initial calling, one, that he might know God more. He built an altar to that. I want to know more about you. And he builds an altar to that. That's in chapter 8 of Genesis. The third and the fourth are both in chapter 13 of Genesis. The third is in chapter 13. That was regarding a point of failure in his life that he came back. He was a recommitment, and he stacked stones, and he made that sacrifice to the Lord. And then finally, we all know the fourth altar was after he was about to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, given everything, right? He was going to give everything, not let go. He knew that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, but he, angel stops him, he builds an altar. So these stacking stones of Abraham, they mark points of his maturity, of how he was growing. And I think all of us should be always stacking stones, you know. And along your journey, you're gonna have these high points, and you're gonna mature in your walk. And it helps especially to be able to gauge maturity in our walk when we do these things, when we come to the Lord and we have these points of growth in our life and we're mature. I think there's a lot of tests of maturity in your life. It's how well you love your brothers and sisters. That's one test. That's one of the tests that I hold in my own life. How well can I love my brothers and sisters? I think, though, one of the difficult tests of maturity is how well we handle trials, right? Many years ago, actually, she was in our wedding, Pam. She kind of scolded me. Things were kind of frazzled. I don't know if you guys remember your weddings and how very frazzled times or whatever, very busy. And she scolded me. She says, "You really fall apart when things are going through the ringer." I kind of took offense at it. I totally agreed with her, though, later on. Things were falling apart. I didn't handle things well. I didn't treat people well. You got your wife here, barking at people, stuff like that, right? She was dead right. She was dead right. I did not handle my walk good with that. But I've learned over the years. I'll tell you, the best, it wasn't an invention, advice. That's a good, it could be an invention too for some of you guys. The best advice I've ever got from a pastor was, don't be reactive to situations. Sit back, let it roll over, see what happens, and then you can make wise decisions. Best decision I ever had in my life as far as taking heed to counsel. Don't be responsive to those circumstances. Be responsive to the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in those circumstances. And if that is an area that you struggle with, it's good advice. Don't be responsive. Don't react. Don't flip out. And we do. I do. But be responsive to the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to your heart. Let him give you perspective, and you'd be amazed how much. But those are marks of maturity in your life when you respond good to the trials of life. Paul here is asking the mature to press on, forget the past, to follow his example to the degree of what we're mature at, what kind of degree. Understand that even himself, he had not apprehended, he was not perfect. The great apostle Paul was flesh. He was just like us. So he says, follow my example. I've learned. I've learned how to do these things. I've learned, you know, God has put me through some extreme things. I haven't apprehended. I haven't gotten there yet. When I was studying this the other day, I was using my GPS, and I had to go to Wisconsin for a meeting for our work, and I pulled into the destination, and it announced, "You have arrived." Did you ever think about that? I have arrived, you know? I had to laugh out loud because I'm studying this. I haven't arrived at anything. I haven't apprehended anything. Paul has not apprehended anything. But to the degree of your maturity, walk in that and follow Paul's example. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly or fleshly or worldly things." Now, I want to get... here's my point today that I really want to, maybe if I could drill it into everybody's heart, We need to remember who we are. Paul says in verse 20, we have citizenship in heaven. It's such an important point. It's such an important growth point in all of our walks. By far, I think it's one of the most important aspects of our relationship with God is to never lose sight to who we are. We are citizens of heaven. Actually, we're sons and daughters of God. I think one of the key tactics of the enemy is to take away our identity. And if you guys know what I mean, we're dull and we're not listening that we are still a son or a daughter of God. That's our place. That's our place now, and it's our place in the future to eternity. So one of the key tactics of the enemy is to always take away our identity, to make us forget that we are children of God. Paul in verse 19 refers to the many that oppose God. Here's an interesting thing that I've noticed remember the temptation of Jesus in the desert, right? He's drawn in the desert by the Holy Spirit. Satan tempts him. Do you guys realize that the three temptations that were tempted, two of those question his identity? Oh, if you're the Son of God, make these rocks into bread, right? Remember those two things? If you're a Son of God. And so I looked at that and said, man, he's hitting Jesus, who is going to be the hardest to tempt ever, with the main point. And I think it's really important for us to remember not to forget that we are the Son of God. How often in your walk, those low points, have you heard that voice? Are you really a Christian? Are you really a Christian? I've heard it. I've spoken out loud. Ooh. I've spoken out loud. Hey, a little lightning doesn't hurt. But God wants us to know we're citizens of heaven. He wants us to know that we're citizens of heaven, both in this life, in the future, to come, that we belong to him. We're his. And it's most often when we question the citizenship of heaven that we become vulnerable to questioning that remembrance. And then we're very susceptible to greater temptations. I can't do it. I can't. I'm not really a Christian, so let's go to the bar. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Or sink into the background. And then you go down the line and the temptations get greater. And that relationship that you have with the Lord fades into the background. It just fades away and you begin to forget. And you begin to do things like these guys that went after the world, that went after flesh. I've come across backslidden Christians that the most common denominator, and I'm talking years of backslidden, that they have completely lost sight of their belonging to the kingdom of God, and they lost their way in life. They have lost their way in life, and they have the devil, and he's never satisfied simply by dislodging our citizenship. He's going to go a little bit further. He loves to do that with our calling also. You know, all of us here, and I spoke to the guys yesterday, all of us have a calling. You know that. You have a calling in God. You're not removed from that. You might be, well, I can't do anything. Well, yes, you can do something because you have a calling in God. He loves to destroy our calling also, because once you dislodge us from the fellowship and the citizenship, let's go a little further. Let's knock them out of their calling too. He's the author of confusion. That's what he is. The Bible says he's the author of confusion. We not only lose sight of heaven, but we lose sight of why God created us, that very special and specific you. I saw Janet yesterday, and I spotted her sister right away. They look alike. Dave was telling me when he went into the wake at my sister's wake, He said he could spot all the Rickards, you know? They all look alike. But you know what? We're a one-of-a-kind creation. None of us are the same. Created to bring glory to God. We're very specially and specifically created. It's not just the merging of the genes together at conception. It's about what God has orchestrated all the way through, that you are that special person. And you have something that God wants you to glorify Him about. All of us. Please don't ever feel sorry for yourself. Oh, I don't have anything. You have something. You just have to seek the Lord. You know what? You just have to be yourself. That brings about that special one-of-a-kind creation, created to bring glory to God. You know, when we forget who we are, it breaks apart almost every strand of God's creation. It's interesting because we remember that we're just not another face in the crowd. You've heard that. Oh, I'm just another. I like background stuff. I'm a wallflower. I'm just another face in the crowd. You know, but to remember that God has created us all very specifically, it's easy to forget that we belong to God. It happened to the saints of old. Remember Moses. The New Testament says that he identified that he was going to be a savior for the Jewish people, but he goes to kill the one Egyptian. Everybody finds out. 40 years in the backside of the desert, he runs away. And he's got to be reminded of a burning bush of who he is. He's got to be reminded. You're called to this. You know, I think of Elijah running to a cave, or Job questioning his very existence. You know, here's the sad thing. I've seen countless Christians drift away from their citizenship. Then they drift away from their calling. They drift away from their relationship, only to be swallowed up by the world and to lead a pointless life. And God has so much opportunity for all of us, so much opportunity. I spoke about being thankful for the brethren and the sisters here that are taking care of the place, helping out, and we have treasures in heaven. Jesus always made a point to say, great is your treasure in heaven. Not little. He's not stingy. He wants to give us treasures in heaven. And he wants us to have a full life. He wants us to be known of him and us to know him. He wants us to remember always that we are his children. We are citizens of heaven. We're already on our way there. He wants us to remember all of that. And we must never forget that. We must never forget who we are, because it's a point to the devil to get into your life. You never forget that. I don't care how far down the road you get. If you've been born again, you got to remember that. You got to remember that. Ask the Holy Spirit, refresh my mind, refresh my heart. Bring me back to you, Lord. So we must never forget who we are, that we are citizens of heaven now and in the future. Now, Paul begins telling us of those that oppose God, and their end is destruction. But listen to this. Here's our end. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a good self-test, you guys. Something that you can test your maturity, or test where you're at with your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you have backed off from that, knowing that you're a citizen of heaven. Are you waiting for the Lord to come back? Good test, right? Really good test. Now, I'm not saying we don't have good things in this life. Let's disclaimer that right away. I look forward to a lot of different things. I look forward sometimes going to work. Sometimes I don't, but sometimes I do. I look forward to my fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I look forward to my family, all those things. But here's a good test. Are you waiting for the Lord to come back? Are you really waiting for him to come back? Not only that, Paul says eagerly waiting. Are you waiting eagerly? Is your heart on fire? Your heart on fire for that? Are you passionate about the rapture? Are there things in your life that are more important than that? That's really a good test. Could you go right now? Could you go right now? Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't. I think about my children, and I think about other. I want them to go with us. But, Lord, could I go right now? Yes, I could go right now. That's up to the Lord to do that. And whenever he wants to come back, I want to be ready for that. So many warnings about being ready. But are there more important things in your life than the Lord coming back? Will the rapture disrupt your plans? That's a good question to ask yourself. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to going to dinner with Bill and Kiki this week, but I'll take the rapture. I'll take the rapture. It's just so important to never forget. And here he's saying our citizenship is in heaven, for which right now we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the rapture, the church being brought back to heaven with him. As we wait for the Lord to come back, he says, who will, and here's our hope, transform our lowly body, the one that's breaking down, the one that might need a knee replacement or a ear replacement or something like that, the one, our lowly body, that it may be conformed or made into or resurrected to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able to subdue all things to himself. So we got to remember who we are. We're citizens of heaven. We're waiting for him to come back. We have our calling in our lives. It might be right now, you might be a mother. You might be a father. Those are callings in your life. You might be involved with children's church. That's a calling in your life. You might be involved with the secret things that are done around churches that nobody sees. That's a calling in your life. All those different things. But we're waiting now for him to come back to take us home. And we're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. It's so important. If I can't stress that enough. So important to remember that always, no matter how far you go down to the pits. Remember that you're citizens of heaven. So we looked at looking forward, pressing on and looking forward. Those are really kind of packed statements to me, to press on. God loves those that press on. That's faith. You press on. Well, you got all these problems. You press on. God loves all those things. He loves all that because that's faith. And he loves someone that never gives up, because we don't give up on him. We had on that wall for the longest time that we should never give up prayer. Men ought always to pray. That's something about his personality that he really loves. He thinks that we should never give up. And that's hope. That's, you know, hope is that anchor to our soul. We talked about marked maturity. You know, go out and stack some stones. See what's happening in your life. Mature. Get beyond the trials. Love your brothers and sisters. You know, get beyond reacting to trials when they're overwhelming. And they do get overwhelming. And God knows that too. He's with us in all of that. He never forsakes us. So, and to point today, let's not forget who we are. We're citizens of heaven on our way to heaven.